Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Difficult to run to them and find God in them. But the reason that Lamentations is so hard for us to understand is one, because the language barrier. You know, we're missing the acrostic nature. Okay, you know, with the 22 verses in the books, and each there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and so each one starts with the next letter of the alphabet. And so you ask yourself this question, except for chapter 3 has 66. There's 3 verses per letter. And so you ask yourself this question, why would they do that? Was it just simply for poetry's sake? And the answer is no, that aided in memorization. So sometimes, you know, it's easy to remember, you know, put things to a song, or sometimes when you will make an acrostic so you can understand, you can remember what certain things meant. You know, there's some doctrinal tools they do that. There's different things. So this was to aid in the memorization of these books. Because you say, well, why did they want them memorized? Because we read through that and we're like, man, this is very difficult. Why did they want this memorized? And there is one blaring answer. Because they don't want people to forget the consequences of sin. And I know we live in a world right now that says there are no consequences to sin. Live it up. Do what you want. I just want to encourage you. That's not actually true. And the second reason that we really struggle with understanding Lamentations in 2021 in America, especially, you know, here we are, is because we don't value lament in our culture. We don't value it. In fact, we value praise, and we value, we try to flee feeling bad, don't we? We don't ask the question, why am I feeling bad? We say, I want to feel better. Right? We don't tolerate pain on any level very well. We don't tolerate suffering well as a culture. We just assume that we need to just get out. We live in a triumphalistic society that leans towards celebration, certainly not towards lament. But let me just remind you, that 40% of the Psalms are lament. 40%. And so there is value, and I know this is not popular. I'm not going to win a popularity contest this morning. But I want to tell you, there is value in lament. There is value in our sorrow. Our sorrow oftentimes teaches us the important lessons that we won't learn any other way. And we can too often try to turn the page on our sorrow too quickly. In fact, I'm just gonna, you know, when my mother passed and I was, I had a major turnaround in my life and really tried to begin pursuing Christ, there were Christians who came and gave me this counsel, and it really messed me up. They're like, you know, just throw all your cares on God, and if you really trust God, you won't be mourning anymore. You won't be sorrow. And so I didn't grieve the death of people near me. I didn't mourn. I didn't have those times. And guess what? When you sweep things under the carpet, eventually you won't be able to open the door. And so I didn't understand that God was there for me in the midst of grieving, not to take me and deliver me from my grieving, but to help me to grieve in Him. Loss is a part of life. Lament is an honest response to sorrow, and we do face sorrow in our lives. Some people struggle to pay the bills. Some people have health issues. Some people experience legitimate tragedy. And God is not trying to rush us through these times, no, but to show us something deep and enduring during those seasons of our lives. There are valuable lessons to learn through a season of lament, because that's where real life is. I told you I wasn't going to win a popularity contest this morning. We don't always live on the mountaintop. Boy, I wish I could. I would want to live on the mountaintop, but in fact, there are valleys in life. I wish my life was always filled with victory and never failure, but that's just not the case. And what we should learn is we don't leave God through those times. I see too many people who hit times of sorrow and they leave God till they're done with their sorrow and then come back to God because they don't think that God is equated with sorrow. God knows sorrow. He's chosen to be in relationship with us. He understands sorrow. And He doesn't leave us in these times. He is right there. And we shouldn't leave God in those times other. When random things happen, God is there for us. And, everybody say and, when we cause our own sorrow, God is there. I am not presenting a theology that says that our sin doesn't matter. No. I'm saying our sin, in fact, does matter. But we need to be honest with it. God is not validating our bad choices. The fact that He is there with us is not validating our bad choices. It's helping us to learn and to grow through them. Those who don't learn from history, you've heard, are doomed to repeat it. So my first point today, just got a couple quick points for us today in our message, is this. Make God the Lord of life's valleys. Make God the Lord of life's valleys. There is value in the valley seasons of our lives. And again, I understand that each one of us, we want to go through it as fast as possible. What was that game? Chutes and Ladders. We want to hit that ladder and we want to skip all that stuff, right? We do not want to repeat that. We want to pass go as fast as we possibly can. But in doing so, we miss some things. I want us to adopt this philosophy. I don't want to get past it. I want to find God in it. That's an important concept, gang. God does not rush us through the valley of life. That is an important thing. In fact, consider this. How many of you love Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, He leads me by. This is a wonderful thing. If we go to verse 4 and 5, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So guess what? You're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But guess what? I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And get this. You prepare a table before me. Where? In the presence of my enemies. Sometimes the table that God has prepared for you is in the presence of your enemies. Do you know that God can feed you in the valley situation of your life? And sometimes that manna is really wonderful. You will know God in a way that you couldn't possibly know Him any other way. Don't just get past it. Find God in it. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, what we read this morning. Whatever gain I had, Paul says, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Even I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrections, and get this, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead. So what he's saying, gang, Christians will suffer. Am I popular today? Christians will suffer. And this theology that says that, oh no, it's going to be wonderful and great. Christians are going to be, you know, no, it's going to happen. They have through the ages. Now, we are not used to suffering because, quite frankly, we are incredibly prosperous. And if I want to be very, very blunt, we're all spoiled. We are. I can't wait for international travel to fire back up. I can't wait to take groups and go down to Cuba, to go down to other places. I can't wait if we could join, that we have opportunities to join together with mission trips that go to Kenya, that go to some places in Africa where it ain't like Paituki. Okay? People live hand to mouth. It is difficult and Christians are persecuted. And we don't understand how wonderful we have it, which really kind of burns me when there's this big move to tear down our nation, how horrible and awful we are, when in fact we are so amazingly prosperous. If you have a real faith, it will be tested. And gang, I really do believe that the days are coming where you may suffer for holding true to your faith. You may lose a promotion. You may not be accepted to a group or an organization that you desire to be part of. You may lose friends. You may lose your social status. You may be mocked and falsely accused and labeled of something that you are not, from a big mob who is stoked by whatever wind of the day may be. I can see a very real future where those days are coming quickly for those who want to hold true to the faith in Jesus Christ. And God doesn't rush us through that valley. In fact, C.S. Lewis said something. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. In other words, pain gets our attention. We see that in our body. There are certain times that we are not attending to something. We're not attending to something, and then our body communicates to us through pain. And it says, hey, there's something going on here. You need to address. You need to deal with it. Sometimes in life, the troubles, when we make decisions, it causes pain, and it's God speaking to us to say, I want you to draw some attention to this area. If you go back, now what can you do? What are some of the things that he may be saying to you? Well, he may be saying, hey, go back and look at what I told you to do before. Maybe he said, you know, how many of you have felt at a time in your life where God is like, hey, you need to develop a better spiritual discipline. You need to start reading scripture more regularly. You need to get more, you need to grow in your prayer life. Anybody have you felt that unction, you felt that leading, and maybe you got excited and you did it for 15 days or 30 days and then you stopped doing it and you hit some of these places in your life and you're like, oh, why isn't God talking to me? He's telling us to go back and look at the last thing that he said to us and how are we following through with that? He proved himself patient and long-suffering for generations and faithful. If we look in scripture in the Old Testament, God was faithful for 400 years and then later for 70 years. And so let's look at Lamentations chapter 2. And I want to get to one main point for us here today. Lamentations chapter 2, it's very hard, but I think some of us, let's just kind of read this and then we'll get on. The Lord, oh man, this is hard. The Lord has become like an enemy. Have you ever felt like God was mad at you? Have you ever felt like you were on the opposite side of the table of God? And if you say no, well then that's great. I can't relate to you because I have. I felt at times it's like, wow, is there any, it's like Tevye from Fiddler on the Roof. Is there anyone else, Lord, you would pick on besides me? Okay? The Lord has become like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all its palaces. He has laid ruins its strongholds. He has multiplied in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentation. He has laid waste his booths like the garden, laid in ruins his meeting place. He's talking about the church. The temple is where he's referring to. It's been laid waste. The Lord has made Zion forget festival and Sabbath. In his fierce indignation, he has spurned king and priests. In other words, you know, some people are like, well, nothing will ever happen to the church. God will protect that. What happens when your sacred place gets rocked? The Lord would never stop me from getting to church on Sunday. I'd never have a flat tire. What happens when those things, the Lord has scorned his altar? disowned his sanctuary. He is delivered into the hands of the enemy, the walls of her palaces. They raised a clamor in the house of the Lord as on the day of festival. Have you ever experienced where you felt like he was an enemy? I have. In fact, I've actually said in my ignorance, and I'm not proud of this, I've asked God, are you mad at me? I've wondered in my heart, Lord, have I done something to offend you? What are we supposed to do in those times? And I'd submit to you, don't run away from them, but explore your lamentation. Life is not always victory and triumph, and at times it's pain and sorrow. So my next point is this, it's okay to explore the question why. Why do I feel so distant from God? Why do I feel like my prayers hit the ceiling and bounce back down? Why do I feel like He has become an enemy? So as a parent, to all the parents in the room, have you ever seen this face? not these particular ones, but in your kiddos, have you ever seen these faces? If you have, say, thank you. And usually these faces follow very closely after you have said the word no. And then you get that one. Isn't that great when that happens in the store? That one usually is like, no, you can't have 50 pieces of candy. No, you can't have this. I've had that experience, gang. You can't have 10 candy bars, and you have that. All of these are important, but what do they represent? They represent usually. I mean, it's a time that we grow. Kids grow through this, right? That's how they grow. The fit throwing and this, you know, the drop. It's always fun. I'm not saying which one, but I had one who always would like to, the grocery store was always a wonderful event there. And, you know, and that happens. And what, it's almost like I'm going to wait till there's a crowd around so you can't respond. Little do they know, I don't care. So anyway, these times can be tough, but they're times of growth and they're times of understanding. I got to tell you, gang, I have grown through my tears. I have grown through the times that I've said I want and God said no. I have grown through the times that I have done messed up. I hate that when we get together with other pastors, sometimes we lament about our graveyard. And our graveyard, what we call that, is the place where we have made mistakes. And sometimes those mistakes hurt people. And I hate that. I hate that I'm not a perfect pastor. I hate that I'm not a perfect servant of God. I hate that I mess up. I hate that I miss the mark. I hate it when I let people down. I hate that. It drives me crazy. And so I understand, and sometimes, you know, in your effort to try to do things, you miss the mark, you mess up, and you have these times, and I gotta tell you, there have been times as I look at these faces, that's very much my face going to God. Anybody? I can be 52 years old and feel like in front of God I'm sprawled out in the grocery store on the floor. I've learned to have to value relationships that I've taken for granted when I have lost some. And I've gone to God like these images, honestly. And so we can grow through failure when we ask the question why and we press in. It's okay to ask, but sometimes I will grant you that the answer is difficult to find. And some of these answers are the sufferings that we bring on ourselves, like the book of Lamentations, the sufferings that are an attack of the enemy, like we read in the book of Job. There are sufferings from living in a fallen world where we do have health issues, we do have death, we do have to labor, and we do have frustration. There are sufferings from following Jesus Christ because of standing and carrying the standard of righteousness. And there are periods where we just have a hard time figuring out which one it is. What are we to do? Go to the Lord. Let me remind you real quickly what we talked about last week, our foundation as we move forward, is you can turn to God when your world comes crashing down. God takes sin seriously and sin has consequences. That is the foundation for our discussion. So if we're asking ourselves the question as to why they are in this place where even their worship has now been taken away from them, we go back and Jeremiah chapter 5 gives us some understanding. Jeremiah 5, 19 through 20. This is Jeremiah speaking about what's to come if they don't wake up. He says, "And when your people say, 'Why has the Lord our God done all these things to us?' you shall say to them, 'As you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your land, so you shall serve foreigners in a land that's not yours.' Declare this in the house of Jacob. Proclaim it in Judah. Hear this, O foolish and senseless people who have eyes, who do not see, who have ears, but hear not. Do you not fear me? Declares the Lord. Do you not tremble before me?" Judah is heartbroken at what they're experiencing. God is angry. His wrath is evident. And we just need to step back and take some understanding and some perspective. We read in Old Testament history that Judah had adopted, get this gang, Judah had adopted Canaanite gods and idols and built shrines to the Canaanite gods all throughout Judah. They had given allegiance to other gods and forsaken Jehovah. In Jeremiah chapter 7, we read that the priesthood became corrupt and the most vulnerable in the community, the poor people and the widows, were taken advantage of. In other words, there was a total social breakdown because the church quit being the church. Worship inside the temple. They worshiped in the temple and they left the temple and took place in idolatry. Now I got a question for you. Does that sound familiar? We come to church on Sunday, and then Monday through Friday, it's a big old spiral. Why is this here? Why is this written? So that we remember, God takes sin seriously, sin has consequences, but you can turn to God when your world comes crashing down. Listen to what he says in Jeremiah chapter 7. If you truly execute justice with one another, in other words, they weren't executing justice with one another, if you don't oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods with your own harm, then I'll let you dwell in this place. In other words, they were doing all of these things. He says in verse 9, "Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, go after other gods that you have not known, and then come stand before me in the house which is called by my name and say, 'We are delivered'?" Well, wow, they are messed up. Well, here's what we do. We come into the church and sing, "I love you, I love you, you are my Lord," and then spend the entire rest of the week serving money, serving fame, serving opinion of other people. We're worshiping the gods of the land rather than Christ. And so we have a lot more. We then, I hope, aren't shocked when the place that we set aside for worship and had such confidence in is laid to waste. They were upset when worship was taken from them. But here's where I want to get to in my final point today. This is important. They were upset when worship was taken from them, but they had stopped true worship long before. Final point. True worship is far beyond showing up on Sunday morning. True worship is not just showing up. This is the big point. They had lost meaningful worship because they went into worship in the temple and they went out and were conformed to the world. My church family, here's the big point of this message. Are we doing the same thing? Do we seek God for an hour and a half, 2 hours on a Sunday morning? Depends on how long-winded the preacher is. And then do we go out and just become the world and add a little God stamp to it? You can worship while lamenting. Don't run away from God in your hard times. You can worship God in imperfection. And if we come into our worship times, we're like, I just don't feel like worshiping. You think Jesus felt like dying on the cross? I can tell you, no, he didn't, because he sweat blood. It's not just what we feel like doing. It is bringing God a passionate worship. Emotion in worship is not a bad thing. I'm not saying you have to imitate a particular style or a particular way, but sincerity of your heart. You don't have to have it all together to worship God. In fact, you can come into this room with a big old chip on your shoulder, which a lot of times happen. How many of you on Sunday mornings, it seems like that's the time that your whole family falls apart and you fight? Yeah. The kids are extra crazy on Sunday morning. And so we come in, we're frustrated, we have a million things, and then the music starts and we're like, Here's the deal. Let go and worship God passionately. And I talk with our youth, you know, and sometimes our youth on Thursday nights, I think that, you know, they will emulate what they see. Do you want in a future generation? So we're all gone. Do you want, if the Lord tarries, do you want a future generation of people to come in here and passionately worship the Lord? Do you want them to be sincere, or do you want to teach them to act one way and then to be something else when they leave? Well, we have to unify ourselves. Come and worship the Lord, gang. You don't have to have it all together to worship, but I'm encouraging you to go after it and to worship God, to give him passionate praise. You can worship without having all the answers. And understand this, Lamentations is a continual cycle of personal and corporate worship. When we read it, there's a verse that says me, and then there's a verse that says we. Your worship corporately should be a reflection of what you are doing privately at home. That's the big picture. True worship is far beyond just showing up. Judas showed up to worship, but then they left and they went in idolatry. I hope that we don't do the same. I just want to encourage us that God takes these things seriously. God understands where we are, and I want to encourage you, learn the lessons. Learn the lessons when heartache hits. God is there and he is speaking. As C.S. Lewis says, he is shouting. He is shouting to us in those times. Would you stand to your feet and let's pray? I invite you to come up. Father in heaven, I do just praise you and thank you for your word to us. And this is a difficult book, Lord. But beyond the language barrier, beyond the poetic nuances that we miss, Lord, I pray for those right now who are in that valley in their lives. Maybe they're dealing with things themselves on a personal level, or they're experiencing the suffering of having a loved one who is struggling as they're walking with them. Thank you, God, that we are not alone in those times. Thank you that you are near. And Lord, for those of us who make our own trouble and begin to experience it, I pray, God, for a coming to our senses that we can run to you. I pray that each one of us right now, that your Holy Spirit would help us have an evaluation and ask that question. Are we like Judah? Are we coming into the temple and then leaving to idolatry? And if that's the case, I pray a holy conviction from your Spirit to shake us and to challenge us so that we can know you more through this place, so that we will be that generation that holds true, so that we will leave an inheritance for our children and our children's children, that they can know you, that they can pursue you. Father, any person who doesn't know you as Savior and Lord right now today, God, I pray that your Spirit would lead them to make this confession. Lord, I come to you today as a sinner. I've messed up. I've failed. I've fallen short. I'm sorry. Please forgive me, God, of my sins. Please, Father, save me. I believe that Jesus is your Son, that he was born of a virgin, that he came, that he lived the perfect life I couldn't live. And now he offers to me forgiveness through His blood. Cleanse me through the blood of Jesus. Wash me white as snow and bring me into Your kingdom. I receive You as Savior and Lord. We praise You, Father. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.